else's meaning. I could stay forever by your side. By your A very good morning to everyone and welcome. So here we are, the double foreign season for 2023-24 is underway. So my name is Brother Tim and I'm based in Bubba's Retreat Centre outside of Sydney in the Blue Mountains. And my role today is to facilitate a conversation. We're moving, transitioning from being selfish to being selfless. And so we have some wonderful resources here. So I will introduce you to my immediate left. We have Brother Rodrigo from Brazil. And Rodrigo Bai has been with Bubba for many, many years. If it's a measure of how long he's been with Bubba, he first had the opportunity when he came along to have a few personal meetings with Bap Dada. So that was a feature of the 80s. And next to him we have Sister Rachel. And Rachel has been with Bubba for a couple of decades. She's based in London, where she serves at Global Corporation House. Welcome, Rachel. And on the far side, we have Sister Rosemary. So we've got the three R's, Rodrigo, Rachel and Rosemary. And Rosemary has been with Bubba again for more than a couple of decades. And similarly, she's based in Global Corporation House in London, and so let's see what wisdom and experience we can draw from our guests. And we hope to have a fairly easygoing kind of conversation. So I suppose the first thing to start with is the question of, well, if we look at the topic, it tells us that we're transitioning from selfishness to selflessness. So it suggests a journey, and given that we're in the confluence age, we would hope it's a journey of progress, a journey of ascent. But let's just start with some definitions. So what do you think we mean by selfishness? Rodrigo?
Well, good morning for everyone. Selfishness. I was researching, looking for some concepts, and I find that is the one of, because can be many motives, many causes, but one of them is, one of the causes of selfishness is fear. Fear is a kind of vice, fear, or insecurity. So, how is this work? When we start to look to the world, to external things, our enemies, like the nature, the people, everyone is my enemy, everyone you take something from me, I start to lock inside. So the fear is the contrary of courageous. Né? This word came from the Latin coraction, that means virtue of the heart. So the fear is the lack of this virtue of the heart. In other words, is the lack of love. And when we are insecure, you must to protect ourselves. When I am insecure, I note down some things. To feel secure, I must accumulate. I must accumulate food, must accumulate power, I must accumulate money to feel secure. This gives birth to another vices, the greed, the gluttony, and others. To feel secure, I must to show what I have. I have a lot of connections. In today's world, it's like followers. I must to show others how important I am. I must to show others the money that I have, the beauty that I have, to feel secure. So this insecurity gives birth to a lot of vices. And just to finish, to feel secure, I must show how good I am. And this gives birth to ego. So I think that selfishness came from this outlook of the external world as something very dangerous, very my enemies, and then I must to protect myself. The solution is very, very easy, but it's a journey. The solution that's easy, we talk after.
So we'd suggest that the basis of selfishness is fear.
One of the bases.
Yeah. Okay. Rachel, would you like to add anything to that?
No, it is. I really like, absolutely agree. Selfishness is about insecurity, lack of self-respect. I've really enjoyed thinking about this topic over the last few days and maybe chatting with a few people. And it seems to me that it's not so much a transition, but it's a balance. Because I think you can have an impure kind of selfishness, but you can also have a pure kind of selfishness. And you can have a pure kind of selflessness, but there is also the impure selflessness. It's like, I am good, I'm a renunciate. So for me anyway, and I see it in myself, is that it's, yes, of course, it is a sort of journey, and I hope I'm getting a little bit better, but it's kind of keep checking. That's my thought.
I think they've covered it.
Oh. Om Shanti. Good morning. Selfishness. I was thinking of it more on two aspects. One is the physical, the lokic selfishness, but also spiritual selfishness. And I think spiritual selfishness is what I was focusing on, rather than the way we are in our lives. But we can also in Brahman life be totally unaware of the effect we have on other people. And for me, that's because I'm in a bubble and I'm really selfish in that aspect. Because small little things that happen, people are totally unaware of perhaps the noise they're making when they walk in the room and people are sleeping. So I'm a very grounded person, so I think in these terms. And or they switch on a light suddenly and they didn't need to, you know. Or they talk until midnight, not thinking of others. So I think people who are unwell mentally also are very self-absorbed, so they're very selfish. But then they can't help it because it's a problem for them. But selfishness is, in a spiritual context, is very courageous, and we can go into that further. But I think we need spiritual selfishness as well.
Would you like to? You look like you.
Yeah. It's a conversation. We should change the name. It's panel of conversation, not panel discussion.
Discussion, conversation.
Yeah. Well, there's other aspect that's connected with spiritual selfishness. There is the lack of true love. Lack of true love. Sometimes when we don't receive love for ourselves, is the meaning of low self-esteem or self-love. I don't have self-love, I don't love myself. And then it's like a recipient. The soul has a love recipient. Let's imagine something like this. And if I don't love myself, this recipient is very low in the quantity. And then I must look to others, to feel, to call the attention of others. Can be becoming sick, I will call attention of others. Can be other motives. But then, if I don't receive love from others, that can be, and there's many causes because I don't receive love from others. I can be a very boring person, a very annoying person, or like the world today, if I have a color of the skin, maybe the other people don't give me love. If I have another religion, so the world today is a kind of difficult to receive love from others. But if this recipient is low in quantity, I need somewhere. But the main point is love from God. This is almost the solution for everything. But therapeutically speaking, the cause of the solution of the spiritual illness is love from God. So I was thinking that in spiritual selfishness is the lack of God, love from God. Because we don't know Him, because we are fighting with Him, we don't know. So where will you receive love? And then the soul is so low in tears, it starts to calling attention in the anyways.
I was going on a totally different tack, but I completely agree with you about love, for sure. We're all looking for love, and if we don't get it, then we can be selfish about it. I understand that. But my thinking in spiritual selfishness is that, you know, we love to give. We feel better when we give, when we do something nice for people, our heart expands. But personally, as a mother, I know from the past that I've just worn myself thin and just got no energy left at all, and I need to regain that energy, and it is spiritual selfishness that actually gives that energy back to me, because I have through the Brahma Kumaris, of course, and Baba's knowledge, I have a discipline, and I need to follow that discipline, and that helps me to keep my balance, as Rachel's talked about, the balance. And so I think it's very important that we take time out, as all of you do, I'm sure, at home, to have Amrit Veda, to come to Murli, to listen to classes when you can or whatever, because that's your sustenance to keep the balance. But, you know, if you just constantly are giving, 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 and you don't give yourself back these things, then you will end up being unenergized and spiritually unconscious, I think.
Perhaps when we're talking about selfishness, perhaps it's about when I just look after my needs and I'm completely ignorant of others. Because, you know, in this conversation, whether we're talking about being selfish or being selfless, what's the key word? It's about the self. And this is such a central part of our study. So what about the aspect of actually looking after the self? Because, you know, it occurred to me that if I don't look after myself, someone else is going to have to. So surely, I mean, I think that's selfish if I'm not maintaining a balance, and so it requires the time, the energy, the attention of others to make sure that, you know, I'm being well looked after. Where's the place of looking after the self in this transition from selfishness to selflessness?
I think, as Rosemary said, discipline, benevolent discipline, not forced discipline. And, you know, it can change. I think one of the things I found is that if I keep my discipline just as a routine, it stops working after a while. I have to keep giving it more attention, being creative with it. It's not to say that I may stick to the same timings, but just to have a discipline for me, or just to have a routine, won't work for very long. So I have to keep being genuinely interested in it and creating new methods. And I'll just give an example. I'm not doing it anymore, but it was a really lovely thing I did for a few months. I came to Madhavan a couple of years ago, and I started it here and then carried on for a little while. And it was just a game I started with, and I called it 4-3-2-1. It lasted about 3 months, three or four months. And while I did it, I was so happy. So it was 4 hours of meditation, 3 times revising the Murli, 2 meals a day, 1 hour of exercise, and then I had 2 zeros. Zero excuses, but also zero guilt if it's simply not possible. So this was just a game I played with myself, but it was an example of how I can... I think we have to entertain ourselves. I have to entertain myself, I know, otherwise I'll just get bored. And so it's just different ways that I can do to just help myself keep a discipline and keep a boundary, keep a benevolent boundary for myself, so that that's my priority and not delivering, getting things done, you know, pleasing people, whatever it is, you know, because you can fall into that, you know, lots of service, lots of deadlines, or I haven't got time to read the Murli again. Well, hang on. So.
Rosemary, looking after the self?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned a few years ago was to change my attitude. And I think that, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, gosh, I haven't got time, or resent something happening to you, or, you know, sort of pushing away from what's coming at you. And really, to just change your attitude to it, say, okay, fine, I've got time. And time will come to you. And I found that very, very beneficial. Just switch that, ooh, ooh, you know, we all have that feeling sometimes. And really just to say, okay, it's fine. You know, don't... You know what I mean?
It is easier, Yukti, to resignify or to change the attitude, because the it's not a problem, it's a challenge, it's something to grow, right? It's an elevator, as Baba said. For me, it is self-care, to be selfishness. It's like there in Brahmin life, there are some words that like detachment. I can be detached and can be very bad, or I can be detached, it's the same word, but it's very virtuous. This is another word that can have this double meaning. You need to clarify to people, because they will not understand if you just say that I will take care of myself. They will say, mainly for a mother that wants. Just imagine now I meditate, I stay, she can make your game, no? 4 hours meditation. But just imagine, if I want to meditate and my child is something. It's not possible. So the self-care is not selfish, but because this depends on the time, on the right thing that I'm doing, this is very necessary. This is a secret, the balance to take care of myself and the others, or self-care in service. This balance is one of the secrets to have a long life, burning life. I think that's next month, 40 years in India. I started when I had 18. And then the secret, I think that's balance, to be creative and create new kind of efforts, the same kind the human soul don't like the same. But you must to have a routine, very disciplined, but you must be creative, new types of efforts. But this is a secret. I think that's the balance to take care of ourselves and service. Service can be lokic or alokic. And Baba say that this is the balance that will make us progress. Otherwise, something will happen. So it's very, very important, this balance.
Okay, so what if we consider the destination? So, as mentioned, the topic is from selfishness, transitioning from selfishness to selflessness. Now, with the exception of a couple of souls that I can think of, we all have bodies, so we have to look after those. Really only we can say our Bap and Dada are in that place of complete selflessness. So what does selflessness mean to you? And what I'm thinking as well is both Rachel and Rosemary spent a lot of time with Didi Janti, but also Daddy Janki. So two very excellent examples of what it means to be selfless. If you could share some thoughts or even some stories, some experiences.
One of the things I remember Daddy saying, which I mean, really touched me, which is it's very much about what is the need rather than what do I need. And I think the definition of selfishness is, or a kind of a definition of selfishness would be I need, and selflessness would be I have. And I often use the analogy of having a begging bowl or having a fruit bowl. Which do I have? Whether it's in a conversation, you know, I want you to like me, I want you to agree with me, I want you to be how I want you to be, whatever. That's begging. But if it's like, you know, I have, like you're saying, if I've filled myself and I have enough, then I can accept you being different. I can accept the fact that you don't like me or that you didn't like my joke or whatever it is. So I think that thing about, you know, neediness and the difference between needing and having is, you know, key.
Yeah, I think that's lovely. It's a lovely example that we're in that, when we are in that selfish mindset, it's a place of lacking.
And it can be even kind of like, you think it's quite good, it's like, I need to be in Panda Bhavan. You know, I need to have a good seat in Baba's room, or, you know, I need to be involved in that project. So it can feel like a pure need, but maybe actually it's not so helpful.
Or I won't. Or I want.
Do
you want Rosemary? To cover? Yeah, no, I agree with Rachel. Lovely analogy. Super. I shall remember that. Yes, I went to Gentiben at some point years ago, and there must have been some problem for myself somewhere along the line. And you go and I'd ask advice. It was probably jealousy or something like that. And she said something wonderful to me, and she said, whatever is your due will come to you. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to want it. You know, you just... And since then, when I had a lot of thinking about, because I love the cycle, I thought, if I just step back and get out of the way, life will unfold. Because I'm Baba's child, and I don't need to push in one direction or another. I don't have to want this or want... It will happen, whatever is supposed to happen for my best interests. And that takes a lot of thinking. You have to think about what you're desiring or what you're You know, it's important to be aware of what's going on up here, of course. But also the other thinking that I had earlier was letting go. I think you have to let go of these desires of wanting, because that is so selfish, because it's not allowing the fruit of what you've done before to happen naturally. It's you interfering.
I think recently I was sharing somewhere and we were talking about desire, and what came up was that desire is that you want the thing that you don't have. So it's like chasing a shadow. If it's a position, if it's a pair of shoes, whatever it is, the mind is just fixated on that which I don't have. And so the moment we do get it, we're just looking for the next thing. So, yeah, I agree entirely. This aspect of wanting is very selfish.
But our basic need is happiness, love and happiness. Those are the two basic needs that I think I want anyway. And of course, if I'm desiring stuff, I'm never going to be happy. If I let go of all of that, I'm going to be fine.
I'm just remembering, but before I came into GYAN, I just, you know, Baba talks about wanderers and stumblers. I was just looking everywhere. And just about 5 years before I came across the Brahma Kumaris, my father had a massive stroke, in fact two, both sides, so he couldn't move or speak for 3 years. And so I kind of dropped everything in London and I went to live with my mum, and we looked after him, spent time with him. And I remember realizing, and I was late 40s, and I remember realizing I've just been completely selfish in my life until that point, because I'd never married, I'd never shared a room with anybody. I'd shared a flat occasionally. For the last 20, you know, the previous 20 years, I'd been self-employed. So, you know, I'd just done exactly what I liked. And I had so many, I changed my job as soon as I got bored. So I just suited myself completely. And having this experience of was the most beautiful thing in my life, actually. It was very tough, it was very sad, but it was also very joyful and very special. Finally, I had a focus that wasn't about trying to satisfy Rachel's needs. You know, finally it was like just being with someone and, you know, appreciating the small things. And that was the gift, and I'm sure that was the gift that actually brought me onto this path, because I suddenly realized that all that running around and chasing, first of all, I never found anything. I kept looking for something else, as you were saying, but it didn't make me happy.
These desires is a problem, and the easy way is to change the thoughts. Instead, I want, I need, is everything is good. Everything is good. Just like a mantra, everything is good, Baba is good, the other soul is good, at least the spiritual is good. But because many years I have these very little desires, but it's like what you are talking. I want something. I want to a better place. I want to what? Which more? I forget these desires, because if you want to give a jump, go ahead very quickly. Just finish this. The best way is gratitude. Think everything is good. Maybe that's not good, but it's a kind of thought that you need to create. That's the new attitude. Everything is good. Everything will happen. Our desires will be fulfilled. It's wonderful. If you, after some years,
it's guaranteed. Our future is guaranteed.
Yeah, the future, the war is gonna. But now our desires will be fulfilled. It's guaranteed. So, don't, is a request for you, don't waste any time wanting things. These little things in Brahmin life is a waste of time, will not work, you take away your happiness, just be happy, create this thought. Baba, everything is good, you are giving me everything. It's the best advice.
Can I? I've got a little story about Daddy.
Please, please share.
Some of you may have heard it before, but we were listening to class in London, and she said to, "Who is the most important person to you?" And nobody could answer. And she turned around and just said, "The most important person to me is me." And that's absolutely true, because she always took care of her mental health, her spirituality. She was always... I was sitting in front of her once when she was, well, wherever it was, and people were sitting in front of her, and one sister in front of me was just shouting at Daddy. She was really cross with her. And I thought, ooh, very strange. But Daddy was fine, you know, usual Daddy. And I noticed when she left, the sister left, Daddy immediately went into herself. She withdrew before the next person came in. And it was very interesting to watch, because she detached immediately from the scene that was in the past, and she was then connected, and then she was ready for the next person who was going to sit in front of her. But we carry things with us. We carry things about people, about situations, negative or positive, but we don't need to. Actually, I've lost my memory, to be honest. I can't remember what happened yesterday, and I'm very pleased about it, really, because I'm not carrying stuff, or trying not to.
Could I add another Daddy story?
Oh,
it's one of my favorites. Okay, so we were in Global House. I think Daddy had just arrived, I think, from India, which used to be amazing. Daddy was beyond jet lag. She would just arrive from India and go straight into giving a class. Her feet never touched the ground. And so she was giving a class, and she said, "Don't give love." That's an extraordinary thing for Daddy to say. "Don't give love. Fill yourself with love from God and let it spread out." So it starts with this, taking care of the self. So fill yourself. I love that one.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, because to give love can be a kind of ego. I give love for this, I give this much because I received this much. I give power for the other. The secret is to be an instrument. And Baba is the father, teacher. I'm not just an instrument. And so this kind of thought, I will give something, will be limited, because I have such amount of power or love or something or nothing. But if I connected, Baba can give everything. So this consciousness of to be an instrument is one of the bases of to be selflessness. Baba have, I don't have.
Can we go along that thread? Do you have any experiences of feeling selfless? And I'm thinking of those times when perhaps when we experience being an instrument, and we reflect on a situation and don't feel that we did it ourselves. It's just, there seems to be a bit of a paradox in that we're on this path for the benefit of the self. We want to return to our original happiness. We want to return to our original purity. So the motivation of a Brahman is that we want to benefit ourselves. But the connotation of the word selflessness is that we're here for everyone else.
Yes,
Rosemary.
I was just, the one little thought that came to my mind, very brief, is that somebody came up to me once and said, "You know, you said something in one of your talks years ago that I've never forgotten, and it's helped me." And for me, that's being unaware of what you're giving out. You're just doing what you can as an instrument, and somebody has benefited, but you've no idea who. Absolutely. I'm not pinpointing somebody and saying, oh, yes, I'm giving to you. You know, it's just, it's quite selfless in a way. But I also don't believe anybody except Shiv Baba can be selfless. I have to say that. I think all of us actually have, even subconsciously, something that we know we're gaining by doing something. I was speaking to Charlie about it, and he said, yes, you definitely have to say it.
Sorry, can you again?
I was speaking to Charlie about it, and he said, yes, you should definitely say it.
Yeah, true. I was thinking that the deities, they are devtas. We need, in this journey, we need to change from to get from the outside to give. But deities are devtas, are giver, but they don't give anything. They just be, like was saying, is to be. In Brahman life, we can share love for the world, something like this. So I was thinking that the end point of this journey is just to be love. As I don't know if it was someone was in the stage was Africa. I think that Gigi Sudesh, she was talking Om Shanti, we know, but Om Prem, yeah, I'm love, and Om Dilkush or happiness, Om happy. is just to be. And so I think that this journey, we are different. We have some, not desires, but knowledge. Now, if I do something, I know that I will receive. But the end point, the destination, is just flow. That will be one step closer to deity state, where we just floating. Now you can share. So it's a kind of the.
Yeah, I was thinking about this recently. The aspect of fragrance, and so it's something that comes up time and time again in the Murli. And it's interesting that with a flower, the flower will give fragrance. But it doesn't really seem to be an action. It seems to be more just an expression of the nature of the flower. And perhaps this is somewhere there in the mix because, you know, as you were saying, Rosemary, when we're in that instrument consciousness, we're not of the mindset that I'm doing something. There's things that occur that are just an expression of who we are. And so less doing and more being.
It's our experiences that count because we're unique and we've all travelled round the cycle and so we've all got hugely different experiences. And when you're sharing your from your heart what's real to you, that will touch somebody.
Just going back to your question about being an instrument and stories of being an instrument is a very practical, everyday one. But I think it's about not allowing myself to say, I can't. You know, because sometimes it's like, I can't do that. I've never done that before. I can't do that. And I remember that I had a role for a while where I was asked in Shantivan for the 10 minutes before 7 a.m. Murli, when the lights were down red, to find about 6 to 8 people and give them a message. And I have really bad eyesight, and particularly in the dark. So it was like, in theory, it was not possible. But I just kind of went with it. I just went in the flow. And it was magic. It was like, exactly the person or somebody who knew the person was right in front of me. Or, that's where the Thai translation is, so they must be over there. And it worked out. So it was an impossible thing that just happened because I just didn't say, I can't. I just thought, okay, let's have a go. Come on, Baba, let's have a go. So it was just that thing of just not allowing my own opinion of what I can do or can't do or what is possible and not possible and just trusting.
I'm sure everybody's experienced the fact that you have a thought and that person or something comes in front of you. I'm sure everybody's experienced that. It's not pushing, it's not trying, it's just saying, and then, it all happens. Magic.
Particularly in Madhuban.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just the atmosphere here is really fertile ground for pure intentions and pure thoughts. Yeah.
It happens at home too.
At home too? Yes.
Just to share another tip for these days. This theme is very interesting. Limitless love, living with limitless love. And this journey from selfishness to selflessness have this component that's to fill yourself with love. Love is very powerful. And then I think that for these days, you can take this opportunity. I was thinking that this was an extended time. We had a COVID pandemic, was an extended time. Mm-hmm. But now to be here in the world, if you open the news, if you are not open, in the library there is some news, newspaper. You can open, you see the world is. And in Brazil, in the center, in the region that I live, is flood, and rivers are going up everywhere. So the world is falling down. This time, I think that's an excellent opportunity to feel more and more love, mainly from Baba in different relationships. So my thought was that you should get every opportunity to churn this theme. There will be a lot of excellent classes, for sure. But there are some places here that we can, alone, you and Baba, hand in hand. Now, I just yesterday I discovered the Dadi Junkies garden.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Beautiful. You can go there, sit in a chair and stay some time with Baba, but try to draw this love from him. How you can love him more? Maybe you can write a letter. And how your experience, how to get more and more love from Baba? What do you do?
I think Charlie said it the other day, and I've been playing with it. You know, it's like just sit in front of Baba and just let him love me. Let him love me. And obviously let myself love him too, but just be open to that, not be thinking too much about should I use this method or that affirmation or remember that blessing or that point of the moly. Just sit there, look into Baba's eyes and just let the light come.
Well, I've also been experimenting in Dadi Janki Park and sitting there. It's absolutely stunning from a piece of rock. It's just amazing what they've achieved. But I decided a few days ago to make Baba my lover, my partner, and that we're in love together. And it's a very magical, magical feeling because it's just the soul and Baba's the light. But we're the same. We're entwined together, we dance together, we walk away together, we are hand in hand. And just like a worldly partner, really, but translated into soul consciousness. It's very beautiful to try.
Try.
Did you?
I try many things differently. Otherwise, the same thing not work. But this walking with Baba hand in hand. One of the personal meetings, he said, is I have hand in hand with Baba. And then I was researching, what is this? It's following Srimad. It's not so like this, but to have the hand of him in our lives is to follow Srimad. But I think to spend some time, just open your heart to Baba is very important. Just allow his love, just feel, and then to be a partner in serve the humanity, humankind. It will be your job. How you can increase love or draw more love from Baba? There is different ways. What yours ways?
I'm just thinking about what's one of the distinctions between selfishness and selflessness. And I think simply is my one of the things is what's my intention? And if the intention is for the self, there'll be some selfishness within that. But if the intention is I'm doing this for the world, there's a selflessness there. And I've often heard it said that this is an aspect of a Brahman soul, is that we have love for humanity. And we know that whatever we do, our needs will be met within that. So I'm thinking of the aspect of the angel, actually. Because an angel is completely selfless. You know, an angel is an instrument of God. And I was remembering meeting a senior sister, actually from Nepal. And when she came to visit our center, she sat on the gaddi. And she just began radiating light. Incredible yogi. And so I asked her later on, it was some time later, and she said, I'll share my experience. And she said that when she sat in yoga, there wasn't stories, there wasn't narratives, there wasn't, you know, all of this chit-chat. She said, I just sit in this stage of I am a soul, being of light, and I connect with the Supreme Soul, the being of light. And she said, I internally, I follow this thought very slowly. And whenever my mind goes off in another direction, I bring it back. And she just said that she practices this again and again, just so the mind becomes quite used to sitting with a very simple thought, but just going very deeply.
Wonderful. Other thing that I was thinking is, just let's suppose that we are first-timers. And I can think, but I don't see Daji. Well, we don't see Brahma Baba and Mama. But I don't see Dadis. Where I find the samples of this selfless love? I was seeing this scene yesterday. These Didis are Dadis. When I entered in India, Dadi Kumarka had, I think, 60, 61. Didi Jayanti, I think that's more than 70, maybe. So this is are our dadis now. It's very beautiful because the dedication of the lives. I remember Gigi Mira. I call her Sister Mira. No, but very young when I entered in Delhi. She was living in Delhi in the same center of Jagdish and others, and all her life. that same way, very happy, very intoxicated, very giver. So I think that for the first time, there's no doubt, these samples is the same samples of Dadi. So this will be no excuse for, don't be inspired for this type of selfless love. They are very good examples.
Yeah, I think if we start thinking we don't have the daddies, we don't have this, it's lack.
Yeah.
And it's, we do have plenty. They're all there, as you say. It's wrong thinking.
Yeah. So, don't have to start.
So, I'm mindful of the time, and it might be a good thing to open up the floor to questions. So if I could put a request forward, if we can make a microphone available for the audience members here.
No.
And perhaps while that's happening,
there you come.
When, what about the aspect of surrender? Where does surrender? Rachel's giving a nod.
Yeah, it's a word we hear a lot, and it's a word that I think can be quite misinterpreted. But it is, I mean, in a way there is a freedom in surrender. It's not, or certainly in English, surrender means put your hands up, I give up, you know, I failed. So it has not such a nice connotation. But I think in Hindi it's more of a giving. Because that's really what surrendering is. It's a giving of my life, giving of my time, giving of my thoughts, giving of my attention, my energy, whatever it is. And in a way that makes me happy, but also is fruitful for other people. But it's not, I give up, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, I'm victim, I must give it, you know? So that's knowing the difference between what is true surrender, it's a giving.
I was chatting with someone recently, and I'd spent some time in Bhutan. And their guide was a young fellow who was heading towards graduating from his university studies. And they were asking him, so when you finish your studies, you know, what will you pursue for a career? And he looked at them and he said, well, he said, it's the will of the king. And the way it was conveyed, it was not a weight on his mind or his shoulders. He was free from any worry that whatever direction he was going to be given would be the best thing for him. And I thought, what a wonderful example. Yeah.
Trust.
Yes, I can say trust. I also think surrender means me getting out of the way.
Sorry, again?
Me getting out of the way. Surrendering to the cycle, the drama. Letting Baba do what he wants to do. You know, surrendering isn't, I'm surrendering into the yagya and renouncing everything and you take care of me sort of thing. As we have wonderful surrendered sisters in London, wonderful. And of course many here. But it's, you know, for householders, they can also be very surrendered in that sense, because they're doing things for service with so much love, so much bhavna.
I know working in the kitchen, sometimes it's very busy, and if you're in the wrong mindset, it can be quite stressful. So just to have the thought that it's already happened. So as you say, to get out of the way and just to let it unfold. Yeah.
I wish I did it more often.
Up. अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर भी सतयुग में तुमको आना है। शिव पिता को अब याद करो। पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है।
शिव बाबा के ज्ञान से फिर माया को मार भगाना है।
शिव पिता को अब याद करो। सतयुग में अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
So once again, to invite any questions from the floor, if anyone has a question to offer, please come down to the front of the stage. We just need one question, that's it, because then the wheels will start turning. Okay.
Om Shanti. So to all panels, have you ever encountered being selfish while doing service? If yes, how did you acknowledge it and what did you do after the process, after acknowledging it that, yeah, maybe in a subtle form there was some selfishness? If yes.
I can think of something. I think the selfishness is when, I forget whose task it is, and this is when I and my comes up, and I know that when at times when I've become very focused on, I have to get this done, the energy that is created actually keeps people away, because the vibration is, this is my task. And so, of course, you know, we're all sensitive to vibrations. People are going to, on a conscious or unconscious level, pick up that vibration, say, oh, it's his task, I'll leave him. The moment I remember Baba, and the moment I remember whose task it is, often within a space of minutes, someone will walk into the kitchen and say, Do you need a hand with this? Do you need a hand with that? You know, and someone told me in terms of when we're seeking help, you know, the moment we say, I want help, you know, from a very needy place, it's almost like a repellent. You keep people away. So this is the thing, the moment we bring ourselves back into the right consciousness of whose task it is, there's a shift in energy and that attracts people. Others?
I think that 90%, 90%, we must put the vibrations, the harmony in front of the task. 10%, as sometimes the task must be in front. But if we mix, there's some problem. My experience is that there isn't the feeling of success. I don't feel well in terms of the vibrations. I don't feel that the people are happy, that people are improving. They are just doing the actions, delivering the what need to be, but this don't create a fortress, don't create the attraction between the family. So I think it's more. But there is different people in Brahmin family, you must know. But I think that put the vibrations, the harmony in front of the task is important. But there is different opinions, I think.
And then when there isn't harmony, and I failed many times, but, you know, how can I go beyond that? Or am I selfishly needing there to be harmony? I need someone to be nice to me. Well, maybe just right now, that's just not what they're able to do. And maybe also I'm provoking it. So there is a selfishness in kind of wanting some, you know, and you can almost like want to force someone to get on with you. And it doesn't work. You just have to accept that, you know, you are who you are. They are, they are. We've all got our samskaras. And, you know, can I just let go of that? And certainly it's taken me a while to learn to just like, just accept myself, but also accept the other and let them be who they are.
Sorry. Thanks for the questions. Good one. I work a lot in teams. And I think one of my most, or my biggest enemy is expectation. And that's when it all goes wrong, because I have an expectation of something and I want it my way, you know. But as soon as I let go, as Rachel says, everybody says, just let it flow, give in, step back. Don't have this neediness of wanting it my way. And then things begin to flow.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions?
Sorry, this is a complicated one. So all of this giving and taking and selflessness, it's been individual. I don't want it, I'm going to give it to you, or I'm going to take it for myself. But when we're looking for real harmony, there may be two people or three people or four people. How can we share this so that we all benefit? So the thing is not individually, oh, I'm going to be selfless and I'm going to give you or I'm going to take it. But how can we split this in some way that it's harmonious for the two of us, the three of us or the 20 of us?
I think that for this, we need to have many dialogues between the team. This is a team, 3, 4, 5 people more. We need to align the expectations. We need to share the learnings. We need to share what we don't like, what we do well, what we do be better. So we need to talk, and sometimes it's a rush, it's do things, numbers, quantity, and then we don't know each other, what each other values, and the what is important for others, because to each one receives something, and we have this feeling of everyone is receiving, creating a harmony. I need to know others. I need to talk, to give space. Is a process. In this world, everything now, if intelligence, artificial intelligence, is just to literally to click in a button and you have many things, we need to go in different way. I think that the secret is to talk, to share, to listen, and this, we need time for this.
I think I just agree. I think you just have to sit down and talk things through and feel safe when you do that, so that you can actually make comments, hopefully in a fairly kind way, because kindness is very important. But also put yourself in somebody else's shoes sometimes, because, you know, if you get to know them, you'll know where they're coming from. And sometimes that makes a big difference to harmony, because you're assuming something about somebody on the surface, but it's not where they have come from. They've come from a trauma or something, and this is why they behave that way, or they want their opinions taken. But if you talk to people, they begin to see your good side and you see both sides. I think it's good to talk.
I'd like to share what I feel is a really good example, and it's how the National Coordinating Team in Spain operates. So there are, I think, four members, I think, in different cities in Spain, and they meet once a week on Zoom, and they start their meetings by going around asking where they're at, what's happening for you, how are you? That's the most important part of the meeting, is how everyone is. Then, interestingly, it's on Zoom, so whatever they're discussing, it's not like I'll say this and somebody else will respond, da 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 da. They go around in the boxes one by one about each topic, and someone gives their input. And even if you have something to respond to what someone after you has said, you wait until it's your turn again, so that you listen to what everyone else has said. I thought that was brilliant. And they say they really look forward to these. You know, these are busy meetings, there's lots of things to discuss, you know, and yet they really look forward to it. And it's a form of spiritual sustenance and a spiritual friendship. But also, things get done better because you've done that checking in, some kind of spiritual activity. Yes, I've admitted that. They obviously have meditation at the beginning as well. But there's that importance, checking in, listening to each other, hearing each other. And then, okay, what do we need to do? And it shifts the attitude. Good question. Thank you.
I think it was Daddy Janky who always did this in London. We would never start a meeting without spiritual input somehow. Always. She would not do anything unless there was spiritual input first.
When Andrew asked the question, I was just thinking about Golden Age, because I can't imagine in Golden Age anyone would have the thought, you know, who came up with that idea. I think once we're all combined in a very high vibration, and I imagine we've experienced this in by degrees, when you're combined with a group in a high vibration of harmony and cooperation, thoughts come and people agree. And, you know, my experience is there's not the question of you know, whose idea it was. It's something that drama puts forward. And there's a feeling to it that it doesn't have any fingerprints on it. It just feels very clean and very pure. And people agree. Yeah. Now we have one last question, and we're going to have to finish with this. Can you clarify and elaborate the difference between the two aspects of selfishness, so Lokic and spiritual? So could you distinguish between worldly selfishness and what you might call spiritual selfishness?
My thought was the difference between selflessness, human quality, and selfless divine quality. But it's not a question, so it's for you to answer.
Well, I think going back to the beginning, I think there is a pure selfishness as well as an impure selfishness, and we've kind of discussed that. It's like, am I looking after Purusharat? Am I making effort for the self in terms of effort for the sake of the soul? I love that word, Purusharat, and that idea that what am I doing? It's not heavy effort, but it's effort for the benefit of the soul. So that is pure selfishness, but then the impure is, you know, I need this, I want this, you know, it's important that I have this benefit and you don't. And, you know, I think somebody was sharing recently, someone was asking Sister Jenty, you know, if you go up and for second helpings, is that being greedy? And her response was, well, if there's plenty, no, it's not being greedy. But if there isn't plenty, then, you know, so there's that difference, really. And again, with selflessness, am I doing it because of ego? Am I doing it because I want to be a good BK or a good daughter or a good parent or whatever it is? Or is it genuinely, I want them to be happy. I want the good to come of this. And I love this translation of the word punya, which is usually translated as charitable. But it's that idea, this sense, this pure sense that I've done what is right. And I think that's selflessness, really. It's just, you know, it's something deep in my heart that, you know, whether it was, it may have been inconvenient, it may have been uncomfortable, it may have been easy, but in my heart I've done what is right. And that's the pure selflessness that you know, I'm working towards. I hope that's helped.
I'm not sure I have an answer. I think it was worldly selfishness versus selflessness and spiritual.
So worldly selfishness versus spiritual selfishness.
Both words, selfishness.
Yes.
Okay. Well, worldly, I think everybody knows about worldly stuff. It's people who don't mind treading on somebody else to get where they want to get. They're not thinking of anybody else. They're self-absorbed. That's worldly selfishness, I think. But spiritual selfishness, I think we've discussed quite at length, really, that it's this balance, as Rachel said, about taking care of the self and yet making effort to improve one's whole attitude to life. In a divine, to become divine, actually. That's what our aim is, my aim is to become divine. And also, when I first came into Gyan, the first thing I said, I want to be in the Golden Age, and I also want to have Dharam Raj to be so small that I hardly feel it. So that's what I've got to do now in this confluence age. But spiritual selfishness, I think, is taking care of yourself.
Yes, the Lokic selfishness is, I think that the sisters told around, but the other is like to care. It's like with a baby, you need to care. Need to sustain. So our stage, we need to sustain with a lot of love, care. I need to protect from other things. So I need to be selfish in this way, good way. If God is my side, I need my stage or myself is like a baby. I need to take care. The other is just full of desires, full of vices, and the selfish human, selfish. Or how is it there?
Yeah.
Is vices, haven, and the other is like taking care of our stage. Our stage is like a little flower. We need to take care. The world is not worried about our stage. We need Baba is, and we need. So we must be a kind of selfish in this way. It's a good. It's necessary.
And we're nearly out of time. I was just thinking of Dadiji, Dadi Prakashmani, because it was so apparent she had so much love and care for herself, but she was acutely aware of whoever she came into contact with. So, for me it doesn't even seem appropriate to use the word selfish. There's just a fullness, and there's just, if love is your nature, it will benefit the self and it will benefit others as well. Last word, Rosemary?
It's just an example of detachment that my daughter a few years ago became very ill mentally, and I didn't know how to handle it. I was quite emotional about it. But over time, I realized, although as a mother I wanted to save her from this problem, I couldn't do that. It's her karma. So my being emotional was no good, so I had to learn detachment. Lots of love, lots and lots of support, but not embracing all this pain that she was going through, if that's her job. But somehow this, yeah, it's detachment. That's my thing.
So, time is upon us. So I would like to thank our panelists. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Thank you, Sister Rosemary. Round of applause for our panelists, please. And thanks for you, for your company, your presence and your attention. And as we like to do, let's finish with a moment remembering the One. Om Shanti.